was requested, but is also very, very much underestimated by many people going into medicine. The following broad issues I'm going to try to deal with practically today, this morning. First one is the issue of, is it really mutter lechatchila for a Jewish person, and meaning a male or a female, to go into fields where they're going to be throwing themselves for sure into the nisyonos of histaklos, which we'll talk about in a moment, what that issue is of histaklos altogether. But it means for a male, obviously, going to OBGYN specifically and getting involved in a particular field where, you know, on a daily basis, they're going to be confronted with potential isurim in this area. So should it be, whatever we end up concluding in general about Megiyah and Histaklus and Hirhurim and all those issues, should perhaps a good Jewish boy avoid that field, Lechatchila, or not? And then on the flip side, a good Jewish girl, should she avoid something like urology, where for sure she's going to be perhaps analogous, but really not analogous situation, as we'll discuss. That's one element of this. Next one is negiyah per se, negiyah legabe examination, but more particularly relevant to, let's say, students, right? We could all say that it's davar pashut, that once you're a doctor and you're involved with taking care of people, that there should be no shiloh of negiyah, but we'll see that's not 100% true. And there is going to be etzos in that realm as well, even for doctors. But kal vachomer, what about students? What about physical examination, training, pelvic exams, breast exams, all those type of things that are very delicate areas? Is there any guidelines in there, anything to be avoided? Next, yichud issues. Yichud issues are biggie. I'm going to try to throw that in as well, because those are really major issues that confront people that are out in practice all the time. And there's certain advice that I think is available that could prove to be very helpful in this area. So we're going to try to handle all those practical issues and anything else that anyone wants to raise that they might have confronted on their own or anticipate confronting that relates to this issue would be a good time to bring it up. So I want to start with just some background on the Isurim, because I've noticed as the times I've spoken about this in various settings, not only with doctors but with non-doctors, there is a lot of confusion as to what exactly are the Yisurim that we're talking about. So I want to start with a statement of Rav Soloveitchik, a very famous tshuva shir that Rav Soloveitchik gave and repeated this yisod many, many times. He said, if you want to look at the basic goal for a Jew, right, in these broad terms, Rav Soloveitchik said, the ultimate goal for a Jew is that they should be, and the gender here is non-specific, it's lav dafka, you'll see what I mean, they should be a gavra and not a chetza. Right? A Jew has to develop themselves to be a gavra and not a chetza. What does the Rebbe mean by that? So what he means is, and the translation, which is always very, very accurate, that's used for this message that he was giving, is that a person should always strive, a Jew who's developing himself as an Eved Hashem, should develop himself as a subject and never as an object. And what's the main difference between a subject and an object? A subject is somebody who is controlling everything around him. They're in control. Whereas an object is subject to control, is under the control of other outside forces. And if a person has that yesod down very well, it's going to carry them very nicely through life. Related to this, but a little different, is also, of course, the very other important yisod, that a person should never treat another person like an object as well. So you're developing yourself as a subject, and what is good for you, you should really be maintaining in your relationships with other people. Why am I bringing up all this nice Yamim Noraim Torah? Because there's no greater expression of the Torah and Halacha's concern for this yisod than the area of arayos, this area. Because not only does the Torah absolutely prohibit certain illicit maisa bia, actual sexual relationships, which is, everybody knows about it, and it's clear, and achrei los, etc., etc., and arayos, but the Torah in this realm, certainly according to the Rambam, even through its own Gedarim, Avizrayu de Gilei Raios, and Isra Lo Sikravu Lo Sikrav, that the Torah itself is giving you a message. It's picking this area particularly to throw in these Gedarim of not even having any type of physical contact in this realm that could then lead to the actual Isser, because it's again very concerned with the fact that you should maintain the subject, you should maintain yourself as the subject in control and not become controlled by other things, including your own hypothalamus, right? Your own Yitzhahara. That you should maintain control. The Torah knows very well that the more distant you are from the actual point of no return, the greater your potential for being in control. So certainly there is, according to the Rambam, an Isser D'Oraisa of Negiah that exists, and it could even be carried further. We're going to see that when this sugya is really developed, B'Iyun, there's going to be something considered Avizrayu de Gilei Arayos, and with it, the nafkamina of Yaharig Val Yavor, even beyond Negiah, meaning that not only will the Torah demand that a person put this fence in terms of physical contact, but there's going to be a fence in terms of Hirhurim altogether, which is a very, very unusual thing for the Torah to do. Normally we say, Dorim Shabalevin and Dvarim, we don't really look at us as Malachim that have to be in control of our thoughts, but in this area it's an exception. In this area, the Torah is demanding it. And ad kidei kachav, you'll see, under certain circumstances, certain situations, it's going to be yahag val yavor. It's going to be very, very much important for us as we're going to be trying to use pikuach nefesh to be matir certain things, and maybe it's not so pashut. Maybe certain times that this particular avera seems to hold sway even over pikuach nefesh. Then there's one other thing. There is another very important to realize, but separate avera from what we've been talking about until now. Right now, we're talking about arayos, very specific area, gilei arayos, where it's yahag v'yavah. There is another very, very important gemara. This gemara is in Ksuvos on Membav on the base, and over there it quotes the pasuk from Dvarim Unishmarta Mikol Davara. Anyone know what that alludes to? What avera that alludes to? So, everyone should learn Ksuvos, great sechta. So there, quotes Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, very famous for being such a tremendous tzaddik. So he takes that pasuk and he learns something very, very important. He says the whole pasuk is Kiteitze Machane Aleivecha, and then it says Unishmarta Mikol Davara. Mikan Amar Rav Pinchas Ben Yair Al Yeharher Adam Bayom V'Yavo Lidei Tuma Balayla. That a person really, as a separate, unrelated to Gilei Arayos or anything like that, have no hirhurim during the day, right? And obviously I think this is really focused on men more than anything else. Don't have any hirhurim during the day, right? Separate din. This turns out to be a din de Rabbanan Chazal instituted. You should avoid in any way possible, and obviously glaring at something inappropriate is going to lead to hirhurim, and hirhurim are very easily triggered. You have a chiv de Rabbanan with a penalty, according to the Rambam, of Makos Mardus, not to get yourself in a position where you're going to be mehayer on things that will lead to trouble later that evening. So it's important, aside from just the general importance of everything I was just talking about, it's important for the halacha lemaisa that we're going to be dealing with to separate these two as separate isurim. There is this isur derabanan of hirhurim, that's one thing, and with it, all the things that could lead to those hirhurim, histaklus at certain things, inappropriate images, inappropriate undressed or inadequately dressed people, and the separate Isser of Gilei Arayos, which is really going to be a very, very, very significantly dangerous area that even elements of it that seem innocent enough can be on the level of Yaharig Val Yavor. And we'll see how that really plays out in this first page of this handout on the Gemara that you have. Gemara says the following. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Very, very famous Gemara. Many of you have probably heard of this. It's quoted in many, many contexts. It has a lot of messages. Ma'isiv Adam Echad Shenosan Einav Be'isha. Oh, I just should mention before I get into this Gemara, in terms of men and women, because there's definitely a difference in this whole realm of halacha between men and women. In one simple, very balabatish sense, it's a much more challenging area for men than for women. Baal Batish doesn't mean not true, right? It's obviously true. It's a much more challenging area for men. And, however, from the women's perspective, there will be some applications, and if you look in the Chinuch, I think it's Kuf Peches, Mitzvah Kuf Peches, and another place in Shin Chafches. The Chinuch also makes a point of saying, don't think that you're putter from all these issues, because even though a lot of the applications are relevant mostly to men, there's inyanim of Lifnei Iver and other related aspects that bring the women in to have to be concerned as well. And we'll see, the Gabe doctors, though, it is going to be obviously less of a problem of Lifnei Iver, as if you understand Lifnei Iver, you understand why there's no relevance to a female doctor, hopefully, a normal female doctor. But there will be other applications which we'll get to. Okay, so back to the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ma'aseh ba'adam achad shenasan eina be'isha, achas, v'hele libotina. This unfortunate guy, he got obsessed with a woman, and he became very ill. He became ill because of his obsession with this woman. Ba'u v'shalu l'rofim v'amru, ein lo takana ad she'tiv'al. And they went to the doctors, what are we going to do with this guy? He's dying. He's dying out of his obsession. So they said, there's only one cure for him, and that is he has to be able to submit, right? Become an object to his urges. He has to be able to have bia with this woman, this particular woman that he's obsessed with. So Amru Chachamim, nope. Yamos va'altiva lo. Okay? Apparently, we'll see in a moment whether this is talking about an Isser Arayas case or not. Presumably it is. Let's go Pashup Shad. It must be. Yahar va'yavola, right? They're saying, no, I don't care if you're going to die. You can't have bia with the woman. That's it. Yaharag val yavo. So we're going to see the battle between the doctors and the rabbanim going to continue throughout this whole little sugya. Okay, so the doctors come up with an alternative therapy. Huh? No pun intended there. Tamod lefana varuma. Maybe if she could just stand before him aruma. They don't have to do the maisa bia, okay. Yaharag val yavo. But I think the doctors say that he'll be okay as long as she's allowed... He's allowed to see her totally without any clothes on. So, nope. Yamos ba'atamod lefanav haruma. It's only histaklos. It's only histaklos, and yet the Gemara says, Yehar v'yavor. Okay, that's not good. Tesaper imo ma'acharei hageder. What about, he doesn't get to see her, but he gets to speak with her. Flirt with her. The doctors think, maybe that'll be good enough. Nope. Yamos b'lotesaper imo ma'acharei hageder. Well, even that, Yehar v'yavor. Get the idea. Wow, here's this Gemara really seems to be upholding what I was just alluding to, that you know, we don't know 100% if we're dealing with arayos, right? But even if we are, ad kidei kach, it's yagva yavor, just to speak hirhurim, it's purely just gonna be his imagination that's gonna carry him. So pligi bar of Yaakov bar Aidi v'rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Chad amar ishes ish haiso. One says, you know, this has gotta be a case of arayos. Right, that's Eishesish. Eishesish is a case of Giloy Arayos. That's why Ziyar V'Yavor. And yet, it's still a big Chiddush, even in that context, but it's got to be that. The Chad Amar, however, no, Pnuya Haisa. No, we're even talking about a Pnuya. So, what on earth is that? You know, a Pnuya, you know, of course, to get into the situation of pure lust with a Pnuya is not a nice thing. However, it's not Giloy Arayos. Shouldn't be Yahar V'Yavor. So Gemara has to explain. Bishlama lamanda amar ishis ish haisa shapir. The Gemara seems satisfied with the ishis ish case, the Gilar Ayas case, that all those things should be yag vayava. We still have to deal with that. What's that? What's the message there? Eile lamanda amar pnuya haisa maikule hai. I mean, come on. So Rapapa amar mishum begam mishpacha. The Rav Acha bered Ravika amar kidesh lo yib benos Yisrael putzos ba'arayos. So they say, no. This is really a special takana. This is not the din of Yag V'Yavor of Arayos or anything like it. It's a special takana because, this is that second principle that I was talking about before in terms of Rav Soloveitchik's objectives for a Jew, is that we don't make other people into objects. So the last thing in the world that a Jew should be projected as doing is taking a woman and making it into this type of object to satisfy this obsessed person's needs. So as a special takana to protect them, absolutely har v'yavo. It goes ad k'dei kach. That's how concerned Chazal were with the non-objectivization of women. Okay, but that's actually not what we're interested in. We're interested, for the moment, really in not the takana, but the ikar din here. The ikar din here is unbelievable. The ikar din is the gilei arayos and the avoidance of the issue of gilei arayos is ad k'dei kach that even here, we're in staklus negiah, forget about it. I mean, you're not even getting near negiah. Much more distant levels of interaction are asar yagva yavo. So does this mean that the maisa, this is how we paskin, that we're going to be having to avoid such situations? In other words, there are many, people don't realize it. People think arayos is just like krovim. No, arayos is eishes eish. Arayos, for us, we're going to paskin legabe all these halachos, yichud, negia, all of them, that bizmanenu, a pnuya, is not like a pnuya in the times of the Gemara, right? Anyone know what I'm alluding to? What's the biggest difference between a pnuya? Right. Now, in the times of the Gemara, being in nida meant much more than it means today. It meant issues of tum and tahara. So women went to the mikvah when they were single. Nowadays, no one does that, at least legitimately. There was, as an aside, there was a crazy idea a couple of years ago, when you guys were probably just kids. On the west side, somebody made the suggestion that the pnuya should go to the mikvah. And that would solve a lot of problems that were apparently, I don't know exactly what problems it was solving, but it was totally rejected by every rabbi that was a legitimate rabbi. There might have been some illegitimate rabbis that were promoting the idea as well, but it was crazy. Nowadays, absolutely, it's also for pnuya to go to the mikvah. This doesn't happen. So every pnuya is a nida, and every nida is considered, even though it's a machlokis, exactly is nida bichlal arayos, not for us now, but the Maisa, the way all the poskim handle someone who's a nida, is like arayos, legabe, yahar v'yavar, and all this halacha. So, are we to assume then, based on this Gemara, that all of this is yahar v'yavar, which would mean, you know, even to be a doctor, and even for parnasa, you have to avoid these situations. And the pashut pshat would be that certainly a male should not go into something like OBGYN, it's yahar v'yavar, to get involved in that type of histakus. So obviously this is not true, right, what I'm saying. And we have to understand why. Because when you understand why it's not true, then you could start to develop an approach, halacha lemaisa, to handling situations in reality. So anyone have any idea why the maskana that I just gave you, as a potential maskana, this one does not really apply to our situations? Anyone? Okay.
This guy was people gaspa.
Therefore? So if potentially you're saying there's less likelihood of Hirhurim, then this guy who obviously is all about Hirhurim, right? That's his whole need. Okay, but let's develop a little more. Going to get a little more halachic with it, a little more lumdish. There's two approaches to why this has no application to us. Maybe I'll spell them out, because it's actually good ideas to know. When we say that certain averos or yahar v'yavor, how does that work? What exactly is that sugya all about? Right? So I'm sure many of you have encountered the sugya in Sanhedrin or in Psachim, in several places, that there are certain averos that you have to die for. Now, they are, of course, ritzicha, avodah zarah, and gilei arayos. And what else? What else does a Jew have to die for? Other than those three. Gzeres Shmad. If it's Shas Shmad, Afilu Mitzvah Kala. Right? If it's a time where some horrible nation or ruler is trying to get us to give up our religion, then you have to die for much lesser crimes. Right? And what else? The Farhesia. If it's public. Why? What's the common denominator of all the times you have to die? What's it all about in two words? Who said it? Yes, exactly. Excellent. Chilul Hashem versus Kiddush Hashem. That's what it's all about. Farhesia and Shas HaShmad is obvious. That is Chilul Hashem. When you give up the Torah in exchange for your biological life, that is a Chilul Hashem. And you're missing the boat on what it means to be a good Jew. You really are. That's an whole tangent that we're not going to get into. What's with the other three? What about Gilei Arayos? Gilei Arayos and Shilchus Damim and Avodah Zarah, what's special about them? Afilu Shelo Befarhes, right? Even Bitzin, even privately. Why? What are those? Is that also Achilu Hashem, Kiddush Hashem? Yes, you know, it's a whole sugya to discuss. But basically, the Rambam's presentation is clearly this way, that those are also Achilu Hashem. The severity of those Averis are such that those also are a Chilul Hashem. If a person does those Averos, right? If they do those Averos with the intent to do those Averos, that is something that is a major Chilul Hashem, just be'etzem, the severity of those Averos. What about if they're doing it, let's say someone's trying to force them to do it, letovas, like for their own hana. Right? Anyone familiar with this sugya at all? Like the question of Esther, right? Esther was Befarhesia over on the Saneira, right? And even Arayos, because they say, you know, she was an Eshesish. So how could she do that? So it's a machlokas in the Gemara, right? One says Karka Olam is one approach, it's Abaya. And the Rava says, no, Hanas Atzmoshani. He says, no, because, you know, if the person's not trying to do it as a religious, specific, design thing to get you to forsake your religion, so then that's not the same thing. That's not a Chilul Hashem, right? They're doing it the Hanas Atzma. So does the heter of Hanas Atzma apply to Gilei Arayos, Shilchus Damim, and Avodah Zarah? So it's a Machlokas Rishonim, very famous Machlokas Rishonim, the Baal Mor and the Ramban. And the Baal Mor says, you know, it doesn't. He says that even Gilei Arayos, if it's the Hanas Atzma, like Achashverosh or whoever was trying to force somebody not to get them to give up, to do an Avera, per se, not to do an Avera, but for some Hana, that would not be Harvel Yavo. So some want to argue, right? And the Baal Mor has to argue, what about this Gemara over here? This Gemara over here is saying that this is, why is the guy doing it? Right? Hana, right? So why should he be Chayav Harvel Yavo? Why should he have to die? So the Baal Mor points out a very, very important yesod of this Gemara, which, well, this guy, what's he doing, right? Take a look at a little continuation of the Gemara. This will give it away. Why is this exceptional? This is still going to be not just Hana, but this is going to be something that's being done as a Chilul Hashem. The Gemara asks the following question. It says, V'nisva minasav. Why don't we just let him get married to her? Right? Let him marry her, and that'll solve everything. How does that solve everything? Because now he could satisfy his needs, beheter, right? So the Gemara says, lo miyasva daite. What does that mean? He's not going to do it for him. What does that mean? Well, he's not going to do it for him. That's his whole thing, right? He's obsessed with this woman. He wants her, you know, physically. So let him get married to her, and then he'll get her. So the Gemara says, no, it's not going to do it. It's not going to work. He's going to die. What's the message here? It's very powerful. You can get a whole chassin schmooze out of this. One line. You want to really teach a guy what it means to be a good husband, right? Remember this. Remember this Gemara. It says, because if he's married, that's not what's driving him. In other words, like, if he's doing it to heter, it's not just a sexual gratification this guy's after. What's this particular guy after? The Avera. That's what's driving him. To do the Avera of Arayos. That's what he's all about. To be able to accomplish that. That's a different type altogether. That's a Chilul Hashem. Right? The Baal Mor suggests, but if he was just driven by plain taiva, right, that would be okay. Truth is, the Ramban doesn't agree with it, but it does get the message across. There's one avenue people get to say is, don't apply this halacha l'maisa. It's talking about a guy who all those other acts were also driven by the taiva for the Avera. I want to have the Avera at least looking at her. I want to have the Avera talking to her, whatever it is. I'm driven by a major Chilul Hashem. So it's an interesting out. But that's only going to work for the Baal Ma'or and those that follow that Shita. There's this whole other Shita that says, no, I don't care. This is true under all conditions. There's low plug. There's no dichotomy here. Whenever you're involved in Arayos, you're going to have Yarv Yavor, right? And even Ad Kitekach, Hirhurin, Histaklus, all those different derivatives are also going to be Argval Yavar. So back to square one. How do we get out of it? So this is one of the most important makoros for everyone in the room to remember. Turn the page. This is the very, very famous Shach. Very, very famous Shach. This is the whole opening of the Sugya Halacha Lamaisa that allows us to function as doctors and as medical students. Shach says the following. So this is a very important siman altogether. Kufnun Zayin in Yeridea is the one that talks about Chilul Hashem and Yahar Gal Yavor. So first it gives the whole background, a lot of the things we discussed. But what we're interested in is the last line, the Ramah over there. He says, Kol Yisra Avodos Kochav Gilei Rayas Shishichas Dami Afal Pi She'im Bo Misa Rak Lav Ba'alma. Here's what he's saying of these Rayud Gilei Rayas, like Negia, is also Yahar Gal Yavor, right? And that's what opens up the discussion for the Shach. Because the Shach says, I'll tell you what the source for that is. You know what the source for the idea that even less than Maisa B itself is also Yahar Gal Yavor? Our Gemara. He says our Gemara. But he says the following. So I'm on the next page in the Shach, where the lines start to get wide, right? He says that there is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether avizrayu de gilei rayos, meaning negia and things less than a maisa bia, are they also asumi deraisa or are they only derabanan? The Rambam says deraisa, the Ramban says derabanan. And the Shach wants to say that, oh, it must be that this Ramah, who's being machmir here, is going like the Rambam against the Ramban. But the Ramban would be easier about things. Comes along the Megillas Esther, and he says, no, I don't agree with that. He says that, I think, right, I'm not actually, where the lines are first wide, but Sefer Megillas Esther, he writes in that place the following, that Sasser Kol Divrei Rambam Meleh Ker Rambam, that it must be, again, that he who is being machmir, the Ramah, being machmir on this issue, he is going like the Rambam, but against the Ramban. So the Shach says, V'ken Nira Li, Mehach uvda dehele libotina, our Gemara. But here's what's really important. Umikom makom mashmed af harambam lo ka'amar ela kishe ose chibuk benishuk derech chiba chibas bia. Shari matzina b'shas bekama duchti shamorayim ayu mechadkim umenashkim libnosein v'achiyosein. So the Shach says, hold it. Don't make the big mistake. When is this whole thing true? It's only in the context, and I think this is what you were saying before, right? Was in the context of when the acts are driven by a licentious manner, right? They're being done, derech, what he calls here, chiba is an interesting expression, but he's purposely saying chibas bia, purely lust. If you're doing it out of lust, if you're touching the girl out of lust, if you're thinking and looking at her with that type of mindset, that's Yahar Gal Yavor. However, if you're not, if the negiah takes place, even with an arayos, if the histaklus takes place, even with someone who is asur to you mishum arayos, never in a million years does anyone, even the Rambam, who's the most machmir in this area, say that that is Yahar Gal Yavor. It is not an isur arayos bichlal. It is dafkin, the Rambam, if you see the Rambam inside, is very, very meduyak. He says that word. He says, here he quotes him over here a little later, Kol haba al harayos derech ivarim o shechibek v'nishek, derech taiva v'nene mikirv baser. It has to be derech taiva. If it's not derech taiva, then it's not in this whole discussion. So, it was a nice try with this Gemara, right? And very interesting. And really, totally irrelevant to our entire discussion, right? People try to bring it in, but it has absolutely no relevance because, presumably, none of us are approaching our patients b'derech taiva. I would hope so. If you are, don't go into medicine. Seek professional assistance. The Gemara that really said, what if you want to be? I once had somebody come to me, and they said, you know, I know the Shach, but I feel like it's wrong anyway, and I am very careful. He's telling me, he's like bragging about it. I'm very careful when I, let's say, doing certain examinations. You know, I cheat a little. Like, you know, I don't look. I forget exactly what he was saying. Something completely idiotic. So I say to him, take a look at this Gemara over here, Sota Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Says the following. Heichidami Chasid Shota. What is an example of a pious fool, right? Of a Shota who's a Chasid. Because I think the scenario like this. I said, you are a Chasid Shota. He said, what's a Chasid Shota? So I told him, take a look at this, because it asked that question. So what's a chassid shote? Kigam dekatava itita benahara. There's a poor woman drowning in the river. Va'amar lav orach ara lihistaku leba va'atula. It is improper to look at women, right, in bathing or whatever she was doing, right? And then he doesn't save her and she dies, right? That's called the chassid shote. That's like an idiotic thing. There's no room now, once we say this is not Yargva Yavor, for you or for the victim, right? It is absolutely inappropriate to be a chassid here. You have to do it right. So now we just got to get to the parameters of exactly what's right. But clearly, there's no room for tzidkus, inappropriate tzidkus. It's going to cause more trouble. So, like what he was telling me, it wasn't exactly letting the woman drown. But, like, if you're supposed to do a pelvic exam, and a pelvic exam is so critical because, you know, you miss cervical cancer or something like that, you've done something really bad, right? He was putting himself at risk for doing that in the way he was doing things. So I said, you know, I had to be a little harsher than I think I called him an idiot. I said, you're an idiot. No, you're a chassid shote. And I referred him to the Gemara, and then he got it. But what about the following? So all this is pikuach nefesh. So when it comes to pikuach nefesh, it's easy to call someone a chassid shote, right? What about stam parnasa? And what about chol hashem osakam? What about that? Do we have some type of heter in that area? Maybe we should only be involved in subjecting ourselves to these nisyonos, guys, right? If it's dealing with something that's on the level of pikuach nefesh. But otherwise, really, it should be all the non-Jews that become the OBGYNs, right? And those areas. And also, when we're doing our physical exam, you know, let's say you're an internist, and you're doing and you're a good one. So you do a thorough physical examination, including all the things that you're supposed to do. Well, when I get to those sensitive areas, let me call in my partner, the non-Jew, and let him do those, right? You ever hear of anyone doing that? Report them if you do. But right, I'm telling you, not even non, you know, so, like something like screening for breast cancer is going to be pikuach nefesh, clearly. But the decision to go into a certain field is certainly not. Someone will do it if you don't do it, right? So let's say I have a netiyah to be a great OBGYN. Do I have to avoid it? That's kind of the shiloh. And the other shiloh is, you know, medical students. Like this was like always, I remember when I was in medical school, so the way my medical school handled teaching pelvic examinations, they hired these models that would come in. They called them models. It was a very interesting expression. I never understood why it was that, but whatever. They were so friendly, you know, proud of what they were doing. But I remember, like, we had a whole physical diagnosis course. It was like a couple of months, right? Most of the people, like, would not go, right? Suddenly, this one, like, standing room moment. Everybody's showing up. So, all right, that was one indication of where everybody's mind was. But is it mutter? Let's say a guy who's going into, there's two levels to this question. Is it mutter at all? Right, so we'll talk about that. The second level is, let's say I know I'm going into cardiology, something like that. Is it mutter for me? Right? Is there maybe I should avoid it? Is there a need to avoid it? So this Gemara is really, really going to be helpful. This is a very, very important sugya. This is the second, the only other sugya you really got to know for these inyanim is this Gemara in Bava Basra. So Gemara in Bava Basra has a lot of, it's really a dini mamonos Gemaras. One of the things that are discussed there is shutvin, is situations of partners. And what you're allowed to do in partnerships, one partnership, and also partnerships in terms of living together. Let's say a whole bunch of people are neighbors in a chatzer. So neighbors in a chatzer are allowed to stop each other from, let's say, one guy decides in this collectively owned chatzer, I want to have a bakery and I want to put in a big oven there that's going to cause a lot of, you know, let's say damage to other people's property potentially or be dangerous or whatever it is. I could stop him. I'll be din. You can't do it without the consent of everybody. Then the Gemara, but the Gemara says, not true if I want to have a little laundry mat. I want to have a little makom kvisa. Why should that be different? That also could be damaging. So the Gemara says the following. Take a look over here. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Redibana Bechol Shutvin Ma'akvin Zedzeh. Shutvin are allowed to stop each other from doing any kind of potentially damaging activities in the collective. Chutz Mina Kvisa She'ein Darkan Shilbnos Yisrael Lihizvazos Ala Kvisa. Very important thing. In those days, what did they used to do to wash the clothes? So, you know, it involved the shok, the calf of a woman being exposed. So, I am a good husband and a good father. I don't want my daughter and my wife to have to go to the public kvisa place and be subject to that bizayon of that their shok should be displayed for everybody. So I'm allowed to say, listen, I'm allowed to probably say to them the following two things. I'm allowed to say, look, I'm doing it right here in the chatzer, and by the way, when my wife and daughter are out there, you guys stay in your house and you're not allowed to come out. Because that's how important it is, again, that women get protected in this area. We're really interested in the follow-up of the Gemara. So the Gemara says the following. Quotes a pasuk from Yishayahu. V'otzem einav miraus bira. Literally means that he shields his eyes from seeing evil. So Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, ze she'ein mistakel banoshim b'sha she'omedes omdos ala kvisa. So this pasuk is lauding those that go by that public kvisa place and shield their eyes. It's like saying, wow, you are a great guy that you do that. What's the problem with that? Anyone sense there's a little tension building here? Like, Heichidami, the Gemara says, what on earth are you talking about? Why are we lauding the guy that walks by the public kvisa place and shields his eyes? We're lauding him because it's a great thing. What's the kasha? The kasha is the following. The way the Gemara says is beautiful. It says, Heichidami, ide ika dracha chrisa rashahu. If this guy has an alternative path to get to where he needs to go, for parnasa, whatever it is, his needs, he should be going there. If he's going here, I don't care if he's like shielding his eyes like this or whatever he's doing. Rasha, he's a Rasha. He shouldn't have been there in the first place. And what if there's no other way to go? Ida ika dracha chrisa, ida leika dracha chrisa, anosu. Then he's anos. What does that mean? This is a very important line. If he has no other way to get to his parnasa, no other way to go, but he has to go by the public kvisa place with all the women exposing the shok, then he's anos. It's not his fault. So he sees it. It's not his fault. And anos de rachmana patre. He's pater. So what are you talking about? Oh, be meshabech. The pasuk is being meshabech, the guy that walks by and shields his eyes. He's either a rasha, and we're certainly not going to laud him to that, or he's neutral, and he doesn't have to do that. So the Gemara says, La'olam de leka dracha chrisa, la'afilu hachi mi baile l'minas nafshe. What's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara says, no, we're talking about where he has no other way to go. He has to go this way. And nevertheless, despite your argument you just gave me, we want him to still do this. We're going to laud this guy because he's doing this. So what does that mean? So the Rashbam instead of Rashi, but in Cheska Sabatim in Bava Basra. So the Rashbam says the following: Heichidami demishtabeach bekra im otzem enav demashmesh im lo yatzim enav eno lo tzadik v'la rasha. The implication is from the pasuk that if the guy wouldn't hold his eyes, he's just a regular guy. He's a great guy if he shields his eyes. So what could be the scenario? So he says, Ide ika dracha achrisa v'azil b'hach rashahu. He's a rasha. V'afu pisha otzim enav. Even though he's like shielding his eyes, he should never have been there. Shelo haya lo likarav ela laharchak mina avera. Dekaimelan harchak mina kiur. And if he had no other choice, anasu, imistakel derech halichaso, v'onis derachmana patri, v'lama maskiko akosav latzim enav. So the Gemara's answer was, no, it's no choice, but we still say he was minas nafshe. Lahatos enav letzad acher, right? He shields, he's a guy, he has no other choice but to be here. So he's onus. Even if he looks, he's not doing an avera. But he nevertheless turns his eyes away. V'hainu demishtabech bekra de'im onus nafshe chasidhu. So this guy is doing minas chasidus by shielding his eyes. So wow, this Gemara really opens up tremendous possibilities and potential. What's this Gemara getting at? What is the point here? And Rav Moshe Feinstein is going to use this Gemara to really lay out the groundwork for the halacha l'maaseh by us. He says the following. He was asked the shaila about somebody who needed for health reasons, not chosh yishpas sakana, some type of health condition. They didn't specify what it was. There are a few things. I don't know, maybe a vitamin D deficiency. He needed more sunlight. Whatever it was, he needed to go to the beach. And there was no separate beach. It was a mixed beach. And he was asking Rav Moshe, is it mutter for me to go or is it yarvel yavor? The guy is asking the shaila, quotes that Gemara that we saw in Sanhedrin, says, hey, maybe I should just take it. So Moshe says, stop, don't be a chassid shota, right? And he quotes this Gemara as a raya for something really, really important. At some point, I want you to see it in his words, but I'm going to say it because we're running out of time. I wanted you to see the piece from Rav Moshe really spans the next page and the next page, and I'm on the second page of this thing. But let me just say it outside. Rav Moshe's Yesodis. He says, you know what you learn from this Gemara? You learn, number one, that when you are in a position where, for your parnasa, or for a tzorach that's legitimate, and the kind of tzorachim that Rav Moshe mentions are parnasa, for a chole, a filu she'en bo sakana, those type of serious needs, so you are allowed to actually be in the situation where you might confront the isurim of histaklos, and we'll get to Nagi in a second, right? Just start with histaklos. You're allowed to do it, right? You could become an OBGYN. Let's put it into the context of our question. You can definitely do that. What do you mean? What's pshat in the Gemara, right? So what's pshat in the Gemara is telling me that all things being equal, if you end up, what's the avera of histaklos altogether? It's not gilui arayos. What was the avera I told you? The avera was, what did Reb Pinchas Ben Yair say? He said, don't come to see something and get hirhurim today, because tonight it'll lead to trouble, right? It's going to be, what's the avera worried about? Hashchata zera, right? We're worried about something like that. So, what is it telling you? He says, this Gemara is telling me that it's a suffix whether that'll happen. It could be that I'll be able to control myself, right? I'll be able to take achrayas, enter this situation, and control myself and not get into trouble. So Rav Moshe says, that's the whole chap. The chap is an incredible, one of my favorite chidushim in all of Igros Moshe, which is, in this area, it's up to you to decide how you're going to handle things. It's an amazing idea, because it fits in so beautifully with, you know, what being Jewish is really all about, which is taking achrayas. It's like being responsible for yourself. So you would think, that we're never really given that kind of responsibility, but Rav Moshe is telling us that when it comes to things like this, that avera of, you know, the nishmarta, mi kol ra, that avera particularly, you are allowed to make this decision. Now, how does it play out? If you're a person who thinks you're going to get into trouble, and I had two guys like this, who were not sure of themselves at all when it came. I said, so what are you, stupid? Don't go, you are not to become an OBGYN, right? They weren't fully confident that they could handle it. If you're not, then it really is inappropriate. It's wrong for you. You're a Rasha if you go into it. It's like you had an option and you didn't take it. It's like that part of the Gemara. However, if you are somebody who is driven, l'shem shamayim, to do this particular field, you want to go into infertility, you want to deliver babies, you want to take care of women, whatever it is, but you're driven the shame shamayim and you can control yourself, so then you're allowed to take the chance. That's the upshot of the Gemara. It's a very, very important yisod. Anyone have any questions on that?
Yeah. How is that different than any non-Derek
Tiva question
where someone
works to be themselves? This isn't the Isra, this is a separate, the Isra Negiyah, right? And that whole thing is a completely separate inyan, right? Now, this is talking about a din derabanan, that you are chayev to avoid situations that will lead to hirhurim, whatever they may be. So, some of them are obvious, right? You know, don't go on certain sites in the internet. That every time a person does, right, they're over on this din derabanan, the chayev makas marcos. This is a little more subtle. This is talking about something we take for granted. You become a doctor and you're going to be exposing yourself to things that most people don't get exposed to. I'm telling you, it's a different world. When you get out there, it's truth is, it's to some degree, you get used to it, which is another problem, by the way. So, not for now discussion. But the nisyonos for doctors is tremendous. And I don't know, you got to just read the papers a little. There's many guys messing up in this area and getting into big trouble.
So,
no, I think that the hirhurim risk is equal or maybe even greater in real life. But people think that it's generally, societally accepted, right? In other words, like, the same guy, if he's like sitting in his, let's say he's sitting in the lecture hall, right, with every all the students around him, would he take out his computer and start looking at pornography? Probably not, right? But would he go and examine one of the models that are teaching pelvic examination? Of course he would. Why? Because one's accepted and one's not accepted, right? But what Rav Moshe is telling us, and which is true, Lamaisa, is that Lagabe, the potential issue here, they're not different, right? But it's up to you to be able to say, well, of course they're different from me because this is my job, this is what I want to do, I'm not interested in that. That's not what I'm doing this for. I'm like examining this person because I want to become a doctor who knows how to examine people in this way. So, no, it's a cheshbon everyone's going to make who's you know, thinking about this. And two guys, you know, fortunately decided not to go into this. They were excited about OBGYN for surgery. They wanted to do a little surgery. They wanted to do a little this, a little that. And then when they were talking to me about it, because they knew that it was, they felt it wasn't possible they should do it. When this topic came up, two of them admitted that it might be difficult for them. So I said, don't do it. And I think that Rav Moshe would agree.
Why is it DAFKA and OBGYN? There's plenty of...
It's only because of the frequency of exposure. And the truth is, like, let's say... which brings us actually to the next page in the Makoros. I'm going to answer that question fully with this. This is from Nishmas Avram. Nishmas Avram, he works through this sugya also, and he even quotes Rishonim. I never found this Ritva. I didn't know about this Ritva, but I looked at it after he showed it. The Ritva makes the same statement Rav Moshe is making. Hakol kefi ma she'adam makir ba'atzmo she'yitzro nichne v'chafafla. Again, even the Rishonim have the same idea that it's up to the person to decide what they're able to handle in regards to making this type of decision. So, what was important for me in this Nishma of Avram is two things. One, he says, it gives you an admonition, be very, very careful, therefore. We see that it's something you have to really know yourself. Two, if you look, Snius b'dika v'tipa b'isha, lachen rofev student. He throws in a student over here now that also has the heter. But the student's got to be careful. So the truth is, this was what you do, like in terms of these types of things that you're going to be exposed to. And you know, sometimes you have more or less sensitive attendings when they go on rounds. I had an attending in surgery, and I'll never forget this guy. I was so happy when he actually got fired, and I was jumping for joy. Right? Why? He was like the chairman of surgery, but he was not a normal guy. Like I knew he wasn't a normal guy. For one thing, like I don't know, I told in the summer what this guy did. I don't know if anyone remembers, but he was mad at some of the students that took off on Shabbos and confronted him with, we don't have to work on Shabbos because we're students. That he wrote on one of their evaluations, rule out downs. Like that's the kind of guy this is. But the other thing that I always hated that he did is he taught us how to examine, you know, for how to rule out lumps and breast cancer. So what does he do? He takes this poor woman who's a patient in a teaching hospital, right? A Nebuch teaching hospital, and he gets them in front of the whole group of all the students. He, you know, just exposes her and like does it in the most callous, you know, horrible way. So actually Nishas Avram over here on the left side, he's also very sensitive to this. He says, if you want to know what you should do, right? So it's okay. Let's say you've decided I can handle anything. I can handle it even, you know, OBGYN, or I can handle it as a regular internist where I'm going to be involved in these kind of examinations. I can handle it. So, but what you should really be doing, you should be a chassid. You know, the chassid, not chota, but the chassid who is otzem enav. What does that mean in this context? It means definitely not doing what that guy did, right? Both being sensitive to the poor woman as well as to yourself. And the way you should examine, I'll give you there's many examples of how you could play this out properly. But I'll give you one that I deal with as a cardiologist. And that is, like, one thing that, I don't know if you've confronted this where you're holding in medical school, but they love to emphasize, the people that teach physical diagnosis, is if you're doing a proper auscultatory examination, you're listening to someone's heart, you know, there's so much subtlety to what you hear and the heart sounds and murmurs and pitch and tone and split S2s and opening snaps and all these kind of things, right? That never, ever, you'll fail if you put your stethoscope directly on the skin, if you don't put the stethoscope directly on the skin and you put it on the gown, right? So, to me, it's like one of the stupidest fallacies that I've ever heard of. I'm a cardiologist. This is what I do. And I listen to murmurs. Unlike these adult cardiologists, they really don't listen to murmurs. Nothing personal. Right? Because I don't really believe it. They are miayin and murmurs the way we are in congenital heart disease. It's much more significant. It's much more... And nowadays we have echo anyway. But the bottom line is, like, I rarely ever, especially with a teenage girl or something, will I ever expose them at all. Because I don't think it's necessary. Now, you have to know, case by case. Sometimes he's a very heavy person and you can't hear anything. You have to do it. But you do it like this. You put the gown over and the stethoscope under. There's many, many things you should do if you're a decent person, decent Jew, if you're chayav to do it, to always protect that modesty. You can't say open license. That's like the take-home message. You want to be otzem einav in the way that's normal, right? Never at the sacrifice of what you're doing, right? You have to do it properly. But and the same is true, let's finally get some women involved in this topic, it's obviously true when examining the male, the same males, believe it or not, have the same sensitivities when they're being exposed, or they should, anyway. All right. The other, I want to add this other thing, also very important advice, is the other thing he mentions over here, the Nishmas Avram, Kidarko Vakodesh, he says, never flirt. Very, very important thing. Because there's always a fine line. You want to be, as a good doctor, you want to be doing two things. You want to be doing what you're supposed to do intellectually and in terms of determining scientifically and medically what's going on. But you also have a very, and it's not just fluff, you have a very significant achrayas for the emotional, psychological well-being of the people you're taking care of. So you want to be friendly. You want to be encouraging. You want to be like positive. You want to make them feel good. So you have to really be careful with that because there's a fine line between doing that and when it moves over to an inappropriate, flirty type interaction. This is particularly true with let's say, in pediatrics, in adolescents, and in young adults. Happens all the time because they're going to be, you know, lifnei iveiring you all the time. Right? It definitely happens. So he puts in a special little warning not to do that because that's schok. Ba'asur lischok ima lahakel rosho kenegda or lahapit b'diofya. That changes your whole little head there. Because once you start developing that type of like catty relationship with them, it could affect your better judgment and the way that we're going to use tarid ba'avida tayu, which is something we're going to get to in a minute. All right. Quickly, Nigia Mamish. What about Nigia Mamish? So for that, the Shach again on the next two pages develops the same heter. He comes in. This is the other famous Shach. And again, there's this whole machaber that seems to be machmir about Nigia. He says a husband who's a doctor, is he allowed to take the pulse of his wife who's a Nida? So I would have said Pshita, based on everything we've said up till now, of course he can, right? But the machaber comes out the chumr, the Ramah comes out the kula, becomes a whole discussion. Most of the poskim at the end of the day are going to be makil on this, but there are many that say that it's worse when it's a husband and a wife. It's worse a husband and a wife having this problem during Nida. And that plays out in very interesting circumstances. Like, for example, during labor, like when I might tell this story over the summer too, one of the most embarrassing things for me was I had all seven of my kids in the hospital where I work. And I knew all the nurses and all the people there, and they thought I was, they got used to it by the end. And I got to explain a little, but in the beginning, they thought I was the most horrible person in the world. My wife is in labor, and she's in such pain, and I'm not doing enough to comfort her. You know, just talking doesn't seem to do it. So, but there are chumras, the gadei negiyah, under those conditions. So, at the end of the day, it's probably best to get someone else to take care of your spouse, for many reasons aside from this. And other than that, though, negiyah is going to be mutter, mistama pshita in the context of medical care, right? For the reasons we've been saying, and then the additional gemara that's on from Avodah Zarah over there, that's the one that talks about Bavidate Torah, which is somebody who mentioned before, right? That when a person's involved in their malacha, so they're also less at risk for running into troubles of hirurim and inappropriate negiyah, and etc., etc. The reason I'm just saying what's the obvious is I want to get to what's the biggest shaila, which is on the last page over there, which is the following. What about the case, and this happens all the time, right? So I just told you, I end up with Legabe, the wife, a machmir. What about a patient? Either in one of the two following scenarios, and this happened to me, the first case, fortunately, not too often, but the second case, all the time. First case is you tell somebody, unfortunately, bad news. Let's say I come out and the kid didn't make it out of surgery. And you're the one who has to go out and tell the parents that their child did not survive. So, you know, there's nothing harder. And again, it's your chayas as a doctor now to continue helping these people. So you want to obviously tell them in the most gentle way possible. There's no easy way, but you want to do it. You want to develop an approach that is least painful to the people, right? That's an art that people develop over time. But then, invariably, what happens is, you know, humans, in comforting each other, it's just built into us that words are not enough, right? Like the delivery case, but it's true in this setting as well. And what would a normal person, what a general societal person would do is hug the person, let them have your shoulder to cry on, at least hold their hand or something. Is there any room to be mocked or something like that? Second scenario. What about, this is quite common, you have a very frightened person who's sick, possibly dying, possibly really in trouble, and you want to help them in the same way. You also want to, you know, you're doing everything you can medically, but they're sitting there, you know, this happens like if you were in an ambulance, forget it, that happens all the time. The person's lying there, scared out of their minds, thinking they're going to die, and you want to help them. And I'll even make the argument, I think, in a very real sense, that that type of yeshuva das that you can offer them could be part of the treatment, could be refuah, mamish refuah. But is there a heter negiah for that when you're not actually doing, this isn't to do an examination, this isn't to do a start an IV, this is mamish just for yeshuva das? Would you think that that would be mutter? Anybody? We'll end with this. So number one, it's not derech chiba. Good. So that's for sure. So if is negiah that's not derech chiba mutter? Everybody should know this. Right? Otherwise, you know, forget it. Like, you try to tell guys in yeshiva about being shomer negiah, right? It's one of our big topics. So they love this. Oh, but it's not derech chiba. We're just platonic. You know, we're just friends. It's not derech chiba. So is that mutter? No, it's not mutter. It's asur midor rabbanan. It's not the same. Derech chiba could be, you know, a much higher level isur arayos. Av Yisrael derayos yadvo yavor. So they know they don't have yagvo yavor, but they're still in isur rabbanan. Any negiah is isur rabbanan. But take it further. So at least we got it down to that, right? You use the shach. It's certainly not derech chiba. So what's mutter, not derech chiba? So one of the most famous things is, what about if someone puts out their hand to shake your hand when they greet you? What should you do? Shake their hand. Why? Because Kavod HaBriah says, Doche, this din derabanan. What about this? What about the needs I was just describing? So, Lefinius Daiti, and more importantly, we'll see some big poskim. Of course it's mutter. Right? Both scenarios? So, hang on. Just take a quick look at this one paragraph. L'hachzuk yad shel isha chola shemefuchedes. I was so gratified. I didn't know that Nishmas Avram was going to handle this case. Right? It's really an issue, but he did. Oh, so I'm on page 9, the second page 9. And really, go to page 10. And what we want to get to is really the statement of the author of Shmir Shabbos, Rav Neubert, says the following. That's where we'll sum it all up. You should read through the whole thing because he brings in very important poskim. He brings in Rav Shlomo Zalman, he brings in Rav Avad Yosef, Zeichet Tzadok from Vracha, both of them Zeichet Tzadok from Vracha. And then he needs to get to, he's like toying with the whole discussion. It's very interesting. He's grappling with it. It's not so pasha, right? Can I really touch this woman's hand just to give her yeshuva das? So, Baruch Hashem, he says at the end, Lachen shamati memori v'rebi agon Rav Neubert, who's the author of Shmir Shabbos, shemutter l'rofe la'oded u'lehargia chola mefuchedes osoveles Gam benegia biyada obirosha. To me, it was a great kula because this is very hard not to do this, and I was ready to make the argument that I, you know, just show the data that this type of putting someone at ease will actually affect their outcomes, and that would have pushed it even further. But he said it even without that. Upashut gam shemutar l'rofe lakachat yada kechelik meabdika hafizikalit. That's pashut. That you can do negiah in the course of an exam, or, which we didn't get to do, students in the course of learning to become doctors, even if they're not mamish taking care of doctors, also pashut that it's mutter. Pashut that it's mutter. He says, but even this was the biggest chiddush. That's why you should be aware of it. That now, you got to be careful and navigate it right. It doesn't mean you start initiating things, right? Because then, you know, people can get overly zealous about this and do it inappropriately. What I usually do in this setting, and it's both the setting of the bad news one and in the one of just trying to put someone at ease, is I wait for a little body language or some type of communication to me that this person needs it. Right? At least, you have to get good at this and experienced at it. But that's, I think, his ultimate message, and what I think is ultimately correct. You shouldn't be assuming all the time that you need to do this. The threshold is very low for what triggers it. But in Achinami, if you sense, and usually what happens if Chas V'Shalom, you have to ever give anyone bad news, very often, you know, especially if you have a relationship with the patient, the mothers will come, or the woman will come right to you and immediately put their head on your shoulder and hold on to you. And of course, mishum kavod abrios and mishum just common decency, it's going to be docha, this is the Rabbanan. And in the setting of a person who's terrified, generally also you're going to have an immediate sense that they need to be comforted in a real way. Otherwise, you know, when you see on a heart rate monitor, their heart rates are like zooming off the charts, and then just by holding their hand that it brings it down, it's a very confirming bit of hard data if you need that this is the right thing to do. Alright, stop here with this. Bring it to Yichud maybe another time. Any questions about any of this?
I'm Rose.